Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What a thrill it is to have this great filmmaker, Aviva Kempner, a legendary filmmaker. She's done some incredible work. She's doing it again. She's at it again, if you will, with a movie, a documentary that she's it's going to come out, I think, opening week in 2019 in baseball. But it's about just the most fascinating story ever about this Mo Berg. If you've never heard of this Mo Berg, he was a Jewish dude that he basically was a genius. He went to, it's unbelievable, this story. He went to everything, Princeton, Columbia Law in New York City. He went to school in France. He spoke multiple languages like Italian, German, French, Latin, Greek, Spanish. I mean, you got to be smart to have that kind of background. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But the story's about, he played Major League Baseball, and he was a catcher. But more than that, he became a spy. He ended up working as a spy in World War II. He also was with the CIA after that, and never a guy for awards. He was all about, I don't even know. You got to have this story told by Aviva. Aviva, thanks so much for taking the time to come on CBS Sports Radio. I understand you were at the All-Star game last night in your hometown in D.C.
You mean the Spritz night?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, that has to be the hottest game I've ever sat at, and it had nothing to do with the hitting. But it was wonderful. It was wonderful to be in D.C., especially those of us who worked so hard to bring back a team. And it was just a lot of fun, and you know, to see the best players on all the teams.
So, what did you think of all those home runs?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I had just read a big piece in the Washington Post about Trot, and he wasn't really on my radar.
Right.
And what I like about him, he's just like that great player, but a really nice guy, you know, not a grandstander. So it was nice to see his home runs. But, you know, I, who make a film about Jewish heroes,
right,
to see Bergman hit a home run, there, you know, there's this Jewish sports group, and they said the first Jew to get the MVP of any All-Star game. So, you know, there's always the first time. So
hey, it was great. It was a huge home run, the game-winning home run, the go-ahead home run in the 10th, and then his teammate Springer hit one right behind him. You know, I saw your brilliant Peabody Award-winning, documentary on Hank Greenberg. How fascinating was that, documentary that you put together and the work you did on Hank? You talk about a legend. What a ball player.
Yeah. Well, you know, I grew up in Detroit.
Right.
And like my father, he was an immigrant, sort of learned how to become an American, being a fan of baseball. And I actually came as a young child. I was born in Europe after the war.
Right.
And Hank Greenberg was such an important person, you know, in Jewish homes. I heard about him every time I would go to services for Yom Kippur. I thought he's part of Kol Nidre services. But in any event, the day I heard he died, the next day I decided I got to make a film about him. And, you know, it's interesting about how Hank Greenberg and DiMaggio, and now there's this incredible, I just saw it in a private screening here this week, on Ted Williams, how these guys gave up years, and Williams, two wars.
Right.
And there's a new PBS doc that's going to be on TV, like on PBS next week, how these guys gave up years, you know, fighting for our country. Hank, 4.5 years, he was in the Pacific.
Right.
Ted, both in World War II and in Korea. And I always think that in the asterisks, in the stats, they should have asterisks because their records would have been tremendous. And it was also Feller and DiMaggio. Mo's a little different. I mean, he had 15 years in the Major League, playing Major League Baseball, and then 2 years coaching. It was after he retired that he was in the OSS. But it's still, you know, incredible bravery, being an American, especially having some kind of visibility, having been a baseball player, and of course Jewish, you know, during World War II, that was great risk.
Sure.
And this whole topic of nuclear espionage,
right?
You know, we were worried that the Germans were developing a bomb, and he was trying to find scientists, especially getting them to come here,
right?
And to make sure that they would not fall into German hands. And then he had this mission to try to find Heisenberg, who was what we were worried about. The Germans were developing the bomb. Well, we secretly, of course, had the Manhattan Project. And then after the Germans fell, he was helping trying to get scientists away from the Russians, or at that point, the Soviet Union. And how timely is that? And actually, the one thing that a lot of people don't know is his brother Sam Berg was sent after we dropped the bomb, the two bombs in Nagasaki and the other city, which I'm having a senior moment remembering. Sam Berg, his brother, was there studying Hiroshima. Sorry, I don't.
Hiroshima.
Yeah, his brother Sam Berg was there studying the effects of nuclear bombs on the population.
How did two brothers? Right.
You know, but what's also interesting is he's a son of immigrant Jews, and of course his father wanted, he did go to law school, wanted him to practice law and just be a lawyer. His father never saw him play, either in junior high, in college, and he was a star player in Princeton, or in all those years in the major leagues. And sure enough, on that show about Ted Williams, his parents never saw him play. Can you imagine if your child was in the major leagues? I don't get it. But see, that sort of makes up their character. I think it's sort of an interesting psychological study, too.
How did you know that, you know, like, well, first of all, I have to go back to your background. Now, when you were born in Berlin and from a Holocaust survivor, tell me about that.
Okay, so my mother, who's Polish Jewish, passed as a Polish Catholic with another young girl. And can you believe I just found out a couple years back that she was in Stuttgart working in a barrel factory pretending they were just Polish, you know, Catholic girls. Well, unfortunately, her parents and sister died in Auschwitz, and her brother survived Auschwitz. And so after the war, my mother was liberated by Americans and brought to Berlin. Meanwhile, my father, who's originally from Lithuania, had been in the Pacific, but because he knew 10 languages, sort of like Mo. And you know, the joke about Mo is he knew 10 languages but couldn't hit in any of them. In any event, my father was brought to Berlin to work in the military government, and he went to write a story about a brother and sister being reunited, my mother and my uncle. And so they married, and I'm the first American war baby.
How did they, the great documentary filmmaker Aviva Kempner with us, legend, how did they decide that this guy was going to be a spy? How did this, like, catcher
well, you have
become
to know
a spy?
About the OSS. What happened is, and I've been, like, learning it from scratch, is in the end of the 30s, America was isolated. It wasn't sure. A lot of the mood was, don't go join in Europe, you know, the Brits and the other forces. It isn't going to happen here. But Roosevelt had this inkling that we're going to have to get involved in the war. So he started working with others to develop an intelligence mechanism, because even though all we're hearing about all this intelligence going on in today's world, there was in each armed forces an intelligence unit, but there wasn't a separate one. So he contacted Wild Bill Donovan, who had been a hero from World War One, and they started developing the prototype of OSS. And you want to know who helped Donovan?
Who?
Have you ever heard of Ian Fleming?
Sure.
Well, 007, James Bond. Fleming came here to actually Washington, where I'm sitting, and helped him to develop a prototype, because the Brits with MI5 already had, you know, a Secret Service intelligence unit. And what Donovan did was get people from all different walks of life. A lot of people from Ivy League schools, but they would get people out of jails who could crack safes. They would get people who, the most important thing were, who could speak different languages.
Right.
As a matter of fact, next week I'm interviewing the son of Corva, who was a young Italian-American. A family was from Sicily, and at age 22, he presented a master plan to his superiors saying, listen, I can help you how to liberate Sicily and Italy because I grew up speaking Italian. And he became the head of the OSS in Italy. And Mo worked with him because the big thing was not only winning, you know, the territories back, the downfall of Mussolini, the downfall of North Africa, but it was also getting these scientists out. I mean, we were obviously very geared to making sure that the Nazis did not know how to do the atomic bomb.
How did you, lastly, let me ask you, did you see the other, the movie, The Catcher Was a Spy? Did you see the movie about him? What did you think of it?
Yeah, I saw the feature film, and, you know, that's their portrayal of what Mo's life was about. But in a documentary, you can tell so much more.
Right.
And we have different people talking about, you know, who knew him back then. I have access to interviews of people like Dom DiMaggio, who roomed with him, and Cassarella, who played with him, and Eldon Ocker. Can you believe years ago I interviewed Eldon Ocker about Hank Greenberg, but at that point I didn't know I was doing Mo Berg. As a matter of fact, someone just teased me on Facebook that I keep on doing films about Bergs. There's Greenberg, and then I did Gertrude Berg, who, you know, did Molly Goldberg on TV.
Right.
And now I have Mo Berg. Actually, at one time I was trying to get Justice Ginsburg, so there may be something about me and Bergs, which is fine.
But that's all right. You've been incredible. Her films have won awards at the Society of Film Critics, New York Film Critics Circle, the Broadcast Film Critics Association, Peabody Awards for the piece on Hank Greenberg.
And, you know, what's great, you can order it, you know, Life and Times of Hank Greenberg. We have a lot of bonus features that have a lot of old baseball stories in it. But let me ask you a question. Who's your baseball team?
I'm a Pirates fan, believe it or not. I like the
Pittsburgh
Pirates.
Well, listen, I was just in Pittsburgh for the Sabre Conference, and my dad, when he came to America, went to Pittsburgh. I just found his student picture in the University of Pittsburgh yearbook. So it's a beautiful city.
Yeah, you should have done a feature documentary on Ralph Kiner.
Well, you know, Ralph, not only is Ralph in the film about Hank, because in the last year he was unfairly traded to the Pirates,
right,
but I have a whole bonus feature on him. He was a real nice mensch, a real nice guy to
listen. You are incredible. I love your work, and I'm looking forward to seeing the Mo Berg film when it comes out, opening day 2019. What a pleasure. Aviva, thank you so much for coming on the bench tonight. People can find out about.
And go Nats. I have to say this in Washington, but it may be a little bit of a pipe dream, but, you know, I'm hope always springs eternal or whatever the line is.
There you go. She's rooting for the Nationals, and she also wants Bryce Harper to get a new deal there. Thanks for coming on the show, Aviva. Love you.
Okay, thanks a lot.
I like that lady. Aviva Kempner, the American filmmaker, her documentary will come out at the start of next season, Mo Berg. I think I saw it somewhere on here before. At Mo Berg Film or something, Mavi, I can't keep track of all of it. So I just thought, MoBergFilm.org on the website and at Mo Berg Film on Twitter, I believe. So there you go, Aviva Kempner.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.